Welcome to the official podcast of Apostolic Lighthouse. We'd like to thank you for listening today. We pray this message blesses you and encourages you to see that God is working in your life. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, I want to teach on righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. And in Luke 6:37, the Bible said, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." And see, we've already heard about forgiveness. We already heard about, you're all teaching the lesson already. And that's good. And we've already heard about judging, how it's easier to judge others sometimes than ourselves. You know, Jesus gave us some really good truths here to live by. You know, if we don't want our words and actions judged, we shouldn't judge others, right? If we don't want to be condemned, we shouldn't condemn. If we want to be forgiven, we need to forgive. In fact, the Lord said, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. It's like, oh, okay, wait a minute. I don't want God holding back his forgiveness because I'll be in trouble. And so I can't hold back my forgiveness. So that's why it's so important that we don't jump to conclusions without all the facts. We don't assume anything. Give people the benefit of the doubt. And John 7:24 said, "Stop judging according to outward appearances. Rather judge according to righteous judgment." So judgment, you know, in a general sense, isn't a bad thing, but it is when, you know, we make ourselves a judge over somebody. See, that's why he said, you know, don't judge the wrong way, judge righteous judgment, you know, which is cutting people the slack, getting all the facts. You know, don't be sitting a judge over somebody. And like Rachel said, like I said, you guys are teaching my lesson. Don't judge a book by its cover, right? See, it's up on the screen. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:1, he started sharing some things about judging. He said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." He said, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust," you know, or other versions say, you know, like a little splinter, or just, you know, in other words, it's something very small. Why do you look at something small in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? So here we are, you know, we're like, okay, we're the judge, right? You know, I mean, we're not supposed to be, but we're going to help you out, you know. How can I help you out? Like, I'm walking around with a 4x4 sticking out of my eye, and how can I even see? And I got this tweezer, like, let me help you out. You got some problems over here, and, you know, they're huge. No, really, it's just a little speck, and you got a big old plank, and that's why we don't see the plank, you know. We just see the speck, so we got to be careful. And verse 4 said, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? It says, 'You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.'" So, like, if we're going around and, you know, telling people they're out, like, you know, sitting on their front porch and maybe their yard has a couple leaves in it, and say, "You know, you really need to clean this yard up." And if they drove by your yard's a disaster compared to they had one leaf just drop or something. You know, we got to clean our yard up first. So then, because we have no room to talk about it. So we got to get rid of, you know, our issue. In other words, you know, there's always could be something in our eye, so to speak. And so really, there's never a good time for us to be a judge over somebody else. Because when you judge somebody, you elevate yourself over that person and you're kind of looking down on them, really. Because a judge is in a seat of authority, you know, in judgment. When you judge somebody, you make yourself superior to them, and we don't want to do that. Because the Lord said, you know, those that are last are going to be first, and the first last, we have to be humble. And nobody has given us the authority to judge others, right? Which means we are self-appointed. Well, I appointed myself. You know, I went on and, you know, proclaimed myself a judge and lawgiver today, and I'm going to help people out. No, that's not good. James 4:12 says, God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? We don't. Psalm 75:7, God is the judge. Hebrews 12:23, God the judge of all. And when you think that God's the only qualifying one to be judge, and not even he is on a seat of judgment right now. We are in a dispensation of grace right now. And so he's sitting on a mercy seat and not a judgment seat. He's sitting on a seat of grace, giving space, trying to work with people, trying to, you know, deal with them, trying to help them to see, you know, encourage them along. He's knocking on the door. He's, you know, he's doing everything to try to help us. Amen. So he's not sitting on a judgment seat. He's on a mercy seat. He's not sitting on a throne of judgment. He's sitting on, Hebrews said, a throne of grace, where we can go and get mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So if he's not on a judgment seat, we shouldn't be. And if he's not on a throne of judgment, we shouldn't be. Amen. So we need to show people mercy, show them grace, and be patient and understanding with them. I know this is a tall order, but that's what church is all about, right? We come here and we say, all right, this is what we're shooting for. And, you know, we come and get our instructions. Okay, Lord, we're going to try, help us with this. Now, Jesus summed it up this way. You know, it's in the second commandment. You know, love your neighbor as yourself, or another way of saying it, Luke 6:31, treat others in the same way you would want them to treat you. You don't do unto others. So in John chapter 8, Jesus is in the public square. He's got some followers with him. But then he has these little pesky Pharisees that are already always trying to trip him up and, you know, trying to discredit him in public. And so they got a scheme together, and they found a woman who was caught in a, you know, a bad sin, according to the law of Moses, a sin that was punishable by death, by stoning. And they brought her to Jesus in front of everybody and said, this is what she did. Moses said she should be stoned to death. What do you say? And they just like, we got him now. And no, they don't have him now. And Jesus just kind of stooped down. He scribbled in the dirt. And the Bible said in John 8:7, so when they continued asking him, come on, what do you say? He raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. And I was like, oh, they didn't have him. He got out of it because he was God, the wisdom of God. So in other words, whoever's perfect here, all the perfect ones, go ahead, throw the stone first. And the Bible said from the oldest to the youngest, they started dropping their stones and walking away because they knew that they weren't perfect. The only perfect, sinless person in the crowd that day was Jesus. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Amen. The only one worthy to throw the stone said, nope, I'm giving you another chance. So there's an old saying that goes, people who live in glass houses should not throw stones. Right? It's just, and what it means is people who have faults, we all do, should not criticize other people for having the same or similar faults. Right? Because if I have a glass house, I got to be careful throwing rocks. I might break my own house. And someone's going to throw a rock right back at my house because, you know, maybe I'm having a good day today, but tomorrow I'm not, and now a rock's coming my way. I'm not going to throw no rocks. I'm gonna have mercy. I'm gonna have compassion. I'm not gonna judge. The Bible tells me it's not my place. Amen. Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. Uh-oh. And then verse 3 says, do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? See, if I don't, he said, judge not, you won't be judged. If I don't judge, God's going to cut me some slack. God's going to, you know, if I show mercy, if I show compassion, if I don't judge, if I forgive, then that's going to come back to me. Amen. Praise God. One person said, don't judge someone just because they sin differently than you. Ooh, that was a powerful statement. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? Oh, but their sins are way worse than mine. Mine are, me and God have an arrangement. No, you don't. I'll just tell you, you don't. We have an understanding. No, you don't. When you stand before God, you'll find out. I don't want to stand before God and find out. I want to get it right now. I want to get it all taken care of. I want to send any sins that might be, lingering, send them on ahead to judgment, get them under the blood, and I don't want to face anything. You know, I want to stand and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Amen. So let's not spend our time judging other people. Let's spend our time praying for people, loving people, understanding, trying to figure that, things out and help them and know that a lot of people are going through a lot of rough times. So having said all that, though, God does allow us to do certain things so we can better understand who we should be hanging around with, better understand what should we believe in life, what should be our principles, for the sake of our walk with God, our spiritual health. There are some things we can do, but they're not judging. We are allowed to be fruit inspectors, for instance. You say fruit inspectors? Yeah, we're in the agriculture business. No. Fruit is, another word for fruit in the Bible is actions. And so Matthew 7, Jesus said, so Matthew 7 we read, judge not lest you should be judged. If you keep going down to verse 16, same chapter, he said, you'll know them by their fruits. Who's them? Just people in general. You'll know them by their fruits. You'll know them by their actions, by their words. He said, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? No. Or figs from thistle bushes? No. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Because all you need to do is you can observe somebody's life. You can observe their words or actions. Even though they might, seem to, they can fool some of the people some of the time. They can't fool, all the people all the time. And nobody's fooling God. And so you can just observe. Be a fruit inspector. You're not judging, but for the sake of my salvation, for the sake of my kids, my family, I'm not going to hang around certain people. I'm not going to whatever, because he said, be careful. You'll know them by their fruits. And we know that when you hang around, evil communications, the Bible said, corrupt good manners. And so when you hang around, the wrong crowd, it can rub off on you, right? And so we're allowed to do that. Galatians 5:22 says, when we receive the Holy Ghost in our life, of course, speaking in tongues is the initial evidence. But then there are other evidences which are the fruit of the Spirit that are part of the indwelling Spirit in our lives, working in our lives. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. So all of these things are, you know, those are like some good fruits that we observe. Like, hey, that's good. You know, I'm okay with that. But then, you know, the works of the, you know, if you read up above these verses, it talks about the works of the flesh are these, and it's, you know, a list of bad things. And those are the things that we need to be careful of, you know, who we hang around with, especially who we allow to speak into our life and who we allow to be the closest to us, because it's the closest ones that can do the most damage if they're not the right, you know, what God wants in our life. Another thing that we are instructed to do and we're allowed to do is to be spirit testers. And that's a small spirit, small s, spirit, human spirit, spirit testers. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's why we don't just, you know, believe someone, hey, if it doesn't line up to the word of God, I'm testing that spirit right away. I know, you know, the word of God. I mean, if somebody says, thus saith the Lord, or hey, I had a dream and this is what God said, if it goes against God's word, I'm sorry, I'm discounting your dream, and you're thus saith the Lord. You better be careful with that, because in the Old Testament, when false prophets didn't do too good, you know, because God said, you are putting my words in your mouth, and I didn't say, thus saith the Lord. I didn't speak through you. Well, I don't want to be that person. Amen. 1 John 4:5, so continuing a little bit later in that chapter, he said, they are the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. This is John talking. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So you can test spirits based on your knowledge of the word of God and just your gut feeling of God's spirit inside of you telling you, you know, because, you know, the spirit of God is like a radar almost. You know, all of a sudden, like, red flags can go up. You can have a radar going off, like, you know, like an alarm, like, oh, something's going on here. I don't feel a right thing, even though it seems on the surface everything's okay. You know, go with your gut. Go with your what God is speaking to you about. Sometimes the ability to test spirits and understand what they're all about comes with time, learning, and experience. Sometimes new converts, new babies in the Lord, you know, they maybe take a little while to be able to discern spirits and try to understand, you know, maybe they possibly could be, you know, misled a little bit, you know, or whatever, because, you know, they don't have the experience yet. But the Bible said in Hebrews 5:14, as we mature in God, but solid food, talking about, because, you know, the word of God is a wonderful thing. The Spirit of God is a wonderful thing. Like, the Holy Ghost can move. It's one Holy Ghost, right? It's one God, one Spirit. He can move in one service in amongst, you know, 50, 60 people, or however many he's at church, and he can touch everybody in different ways that they need to be touched. This person over here is crying because the Spirit touched him. This person's running around the church. This person's jumping up and down. This person is just, you know, just soaking it all in. Amen. And so one Spirit is multifaceted, and the Word of God is the same way. One sermon, one lesson can go out on a particular subject, but everybody can receive it in a different way that they need, that they're going through. It's a beautiful thing. And so that same Bible can be milk to the new people in God and meat to the mature people in God. The same word goes out. So solid food, talking about spiritual food, the word of God, is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil, trying the spirits. Amen. So that's wonderful. John Wesley said this, we should be rigorous in judging ourselves and gracious in judging others. Like, we should be harder on ourselves than others, really, is what the bottom line is. And we really shouldn't be a judge at all other than fruit inspecting and spirit testing. We're allowed to do that. But when it crosses over, like, oh yeah, you know, then it's like, no, we left the authorized fruit inspecting and spirit testing, and now we are crossing over into God's territory. He's the only judge. And 1 Corinthians 11:31 says this, for if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. I like that. It's always good to take inventory. It's always good to take a good look in the spiritual mirror with the Word of God. It's always good to, you know, be, you know, like Shakespeare said once in one of his plays, to thine own self be true. And God said something very similar, which Shakespeare probably got it from God because, you know, God spoke first. But God said in the book of Psalms, God, he goes, thou, the psalmist said, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. We got to be truthful with ourselves because we can deceive ourselves and say, oh, I'm okay. You know, I'm fine. You know, I'm on fire for God. And, you know, we're lukewarm. It's like you didn't take the temperature, not on fire for God. You know, sometimes we need to put another log on the fire and get that baby stoked, fired up. Amen. Like we did on Easter Sunday, you know, after the preaching, you know, we were putting a lot of fire. We were putting a bonfire on that one. That was like one of those beach bonfires. That was awesome. That was a blazing fire, Holy Ghost and fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That was beautiful. Amen. So let's judge righteous judgment, being fruit inspectors, spirit testers, but not with a judgmental attitude or spirit at all, knowing that we're not perfect. Let's leave the judging to the only true one who's qualified to be judged, which is Jesus. Amen?
What an incredible message. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast, and may God bless you.